Hey, you guys, and welcome to the third season of the Kitchen Table Chronicles. It's your girl Kia, and I am here with a very special guest today, my own son, Aiden Jones Baldwin, aka AJB, aka the Heartbreak Kid, is what he chose to call himself. And we're going to be talking about all things adoption, family, foster care, and we're just going to get into it. So, I hope you guys had a great and awesome new year. I hope you have planned your visions, made them plain, and I hope that you guys get any and everything that your heart desire in this season. Thank you for joining us for the Kitchen Table Chronicles. Hey, Aiden.
Hey, Mom.
Not hey, Mom. Not you dragging. Baby, I'm going to need you to put some pep in your step. Like if I told you that I bought you a new game for that PS4.
I don't got a PS4. I got an Xbox.
Oh, same thing. Anyway, Happy New Year, son.
Thank you.
Thank you for choosing to be a guest on the podcast on Kitchen Table Chronicles. We appreciate your entire ministry.
No problem anytime.
Yes, sir. So we're going to get right into it. Did you create a vision board this year?
No.
Okay. So what are your goals for the new year? What are your goals, son? What are you, you know, what you looking for? What you plan on doing? You know, what is it?
Get fit.
Get fit.
Get straight A's.
Okay.
And spend time with my family. Then videos, games.
Oh, spend some time with your family.
And try to work, like, instead of fighting my brother.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, help him out.
Oh, okay. Okay, well, those sound like some pretty good goals and everything like that. All right, and so how do you think you can execute those goals? How do you think you can, you know, the things that you can do to work towards?
Study for my straight A's before every test, quiz, check-in.
Mm-hmm.
With my brother, I just gotta, like, you know, stop, breathe, use the light, the stoplight, meditate.
You know? The method that we talked about, mm-hmm. Stop, think, act. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
The gym is probably about, like, football and all that. It's when the sport comes up, so I gotta be patient about that.
Mm-hmm.
And spending time with my family. Hey, I even give y'all my game if I got to.
so I can be in control of the game.
Not the whole game, but you know what I'm saying?
Just a little percentage of it. Okay. Okay. Well, that sounds like some pretty good goals, especially spending time with family, because family is really important. I think that we are a family that is really big on spending time with each other, don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I think those are some pretty good goals. You know, sounds good to me. So what did you learn last year that you think is going to help you a little bit this year?
Decimals in school.
Okay.
Read the question twice before you answer. And then when you answer, make sure you're correct and then read again.
Oh, okay. So read again and then reread. Mm-hmm. Pretty much. Okay.
So after you got the answer, you know, look back in the passage and then look at the question and then you see it, then you got the right answer.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, teamwork helps you a lot. Can't argue with your teammates. So mm-hmm. That won't help you at all. They just won't help you because mm-hmm. you're being mean to them. And so that should have taught me a very good lesson.
Mm-hmm. Did you argue with your teammates a little bit last year?
Yes.
And so this year you a little bit better prepared.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So last year on the football team you was the quarterback.
Yes.
How was that? Just talk to me a little bit about that pressure of being the quarterback of your little league football team.
I had a lot of weight on my shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
Had to carry the team. Had to encourage the team. Whatever I do, if, like, I quit, they're going to quit. If I lose courage, they're going to lose courage. So whatever actions I have, they're going to have.
Mm-hmm.
I got to lead my team. I got to be a team leader. Mm-hmm. So as a quarterback, got to do my job, lead my team.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and so prior to this year in football, you hadn't been the quarterback. What was your positions?
This year, I was running back,
mm-hmm.
linebacker, safety.
Okay, so kind of, you know, you've been in a few positions. So out of all those positions that you named, which one do you feel like was the most important, the one that taught you the most?
I think running back, because, you know, you get the ball a lot in these little leagues because, you know, you don't really throw it like that.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even get to throw it like that even though I wanted to because mm-hmm. I think I got an arm, and I do.
Oh, okay, arm.
And so I really gave to, like, the running back, or we might do a pop-out pass.
Mm-hmm.
Those are only, like, top-out passes, but it was mostly going to the running back or quarterback sneak.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I think the running back and quarterback is the most important jobs. But the other important job is the lineman because they protect you mm-hmm. and all that. And they got a lot of wood in the shoulders because they got to handle with some big boys.
So to me, it sounds like football is kind of like family. You know, you got the linebackers who are protecting the family. That's, you know, so families protect each other. You have, you said the linemen.
The linebacker is on defense trying to tackle the running back.
Okay, so you said the lineman is there to protect.
Offensive lineman, yeah.
Offensive lineman, gotcha. You better correct your mama. So you have them, they're there to protect. Then you have, like, the quarterback, like you said, they're being the leader, they're encouraging, they're trying to stay focused. And then you have the running back who also has a role to play on the team as well. And so it's pretty much like a family. So you can kind of equate those lessons that you learned on the football field to the family, to our family, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, you know, with a lot of weight on your shoulders, kind of describe that. What you mean about a lot of weight on your shoulders when you was the quarterback?
I had a lot of pressure. Mm-hmm. They was blitzing a lot because, you know, it's little leagues. They got to get these wins. You know, it means a lot because they want to show that they can make it to the NFL one day. Mm-hmm. So they blitz. They might say they 10. They look 14. Hey, but hey, yeah, I got my hopes up a couple of times. But that couldn't hold me back. I got scared. Mm-hmm. A couple times, mm-hmm. but my dad encouraged me, and my mom saying, you can't be scared out there on the field, because if you're scared, the mm-hmm. other the team's going to be scared also.
Mm-hmm.
And so one time, I couldn't make it to a game because we was in Florida, and then they lost the game because they was scared.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They said they was like, they were playing the Ducks, and then they're the same for our team. They said, man, the Ducks don't quack. I said, how big were they? They said, about your dad's size. I said, I'm not. I'm glad I missed that game.
So, at the end of the day, you know, pretty much the quarterback is the one who really have to be there and encourage the team.
Mm-hmm.
And if you had to equate the quarterback to a family member, who would you say is the quarterback of a family?
The dad.
The dad. Okay. So why do you feel like the dad is like the quarterback of the family?
I would say because he's like, our dad is fast. He's quick. He's a hardworking man. Not saying that you're not. I'm just saying mm-hmm. he mm-hmm. works night shift, day shift.
Mm-hmm.
And you got a lot of pressure. You got to deal with me, Zach, Carly. So, yeah,
mm-hmm.
got a lot of pressure on him, blitzing. Mm-hmm. Me, Zach, blitzing on him, mm-hmm. calling him blitzing. you got lupus on, and mm-hmm. he on night shift. I know he worries because he tells me every day, make sure you watch our mama at night because I can't be there.
It is a lot of pressure, especially when
mom from hitting her knee.
It's a lot of pressure, especially when a family member has health concerns and, you know, just different things. And all of us have to pull together. And so, you know, you just have to, you know, that's when you have to be there. So when you're looking at the quarterback, so you said like the dad is like the quarterback. So then when you look at like the offensive lineman, who do you feel like that equates to in the family?
Obviously, I mean, it's like caring, not caring, but like helps you out a lot, like mm-hmm. protects you, you know, like if you like get teased at school, they will literally come off to that school.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll say it's you, Carly, and Zari, because like, Carly, if anybody talk trash, I'm gonna pull over that school. Sissy, like, hey, just talk back. Hey,
mm-hmm.
they say anything to you, mm-hmm. they punch you, bro. You. Lay him out. You may as well just go to the principal's office. So, and then you're like, just tell me everything that happened, and then you'll come up there, settle things. And he's like, anything happens, let me know, cause I'll handle it, and you don't gotta worry about those things ever happening again.
Mm-hmm. So the mom and the sisters are like the protectors and things like that. So you got dad is the leader and he's the encourager and he's strong. And then you have the mom. She's more like the protector. The sisters are like the protector. And then you have the other job you said, like the running back. Like, who would you say that equates to in a family?
Me. Because, you know, you still got a lot of pressure when you get that ball. When you look both ways, all you're going to see is two men. So, you know, you got to hit that hole. You got to find a hole quick.
Mm-hmm.
And so, it's like me in a test. If I mm-hmm. can't find the right answer, I hit a hole quick because I see pressure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, I hit my best answer.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
Sometimes
mm-hmm.
he do me right. Sometimes he do me wrong. But, hey, hey, I try my best on that quiz, on
right.
test.
Right. Mm-hmm.
As long as I hit that hole and I don't get hit, hey.
It's all good. Mm-hmm. You tried. Mm-hmm. Okay, and then you have like the linebackers on the
safety
on the defense,
corner.
The safety, and who would you say that equates to in the family?
There's only one more person. That's Zach.
Mm-hmm.
You know how Zach, like, he try to help out Massey a lot, like mm-hmm. you know, he guards her, try to pick her up, try to help Princess a lot. So
mm-hmm.
so cornerback is like, you know, you gotta guard the wide receiver mm-hmm. and then pick it up, or like try, incomplete. So was Zach, he like, to make him compare to corner,
mm-hmm.
he's like, he know how to like, when he's scared of the ball, he hits it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm saying if he's like a cornerback, not saying if, like, he hits that ball hard when I throw it.
Mm-hmm.
He hit it hard. It literally comes back to me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm saying with that arm, when he smack it, he should be a cornerback. But him... when he hits, that's a linebacker right there.
You're going to see Star.
Yeah.
He only four. So just imagine.
And his safety, as smart as he is at 4 years old,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
the safety got to have a mindset of he got to read where the running back, quarterback going.
Mm-hmm.
Or if the cornerback
mm-hmm.
can't make it, he got to be there. Like, it's
oh.
like, it's like. He's like the second best on defense.
Mm-hmm.
Cornerback's third.
Okay, gotcha.
Linebackers, you know, first.
First in defense, uh-huh.
Like, Zach, if I need him, he'll come quick. So, mm-hmm. like, if he's running down the sideline, you got to cut him off.
Mm-hmm.
He does that. I've been trying to teach him how to play football.
Right.
He's been doing it my way. If I say, Zach, am I going around the down the sideline? What are you going to do? He said, cut you off.
Mm-hmm.
So, he always cuts me off.
Right.
I told him how to hit stick.
So he learning.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And when he does that hit stick in the game, all you need to know, oh my baby, what the mama gonna say when we hit their baby? Oh my baby. Because all they gonna be seeing is stars and on the sideline. Because what I taught them.
Oh my gosh, Lord Jesus, y'all gonna have me on the sideline over there in a tussle with somebody's mama.
You gonna be cheering, nah, you gonna be cheering because your boy just hit that boy hard. So, what Zach did, this is called the leg hit stick. So, if I'm running down the sideline, you got to run, aim for the legs, and then boom, take mm-hmm. out the legs. Nah, you having a concussion if you hit your head hard on the ground. The other one is just, like, you know, hit the hip.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's, like, you jerk your body like that. So, that will offend. And then the other one is just, like, if you're in front of him, boom, just go for the legs. They're going to do a flip. Might even fumble.
No, okay.
So if you just in front of them, they try to do, no, you breaking down. I'm going for those legs. You about to do a flip. I mean, when they in the air, I'm like, do a flip.
Not do a flip. Well, honey, I'm glad that you got the vision. You've learned something from last year to equate to this year. And, you know, we're going to take a short break. But when we come back, we're going to get into some of these things, some of these pressing concerns and these questions that people just burn and desire, that people just want to know about our family, about foster care, about adoption, about just all things pretty much the Jones Baldwin family. So we'll see you guys after the break. Okay, you guys, welcome back. I am here with my middle baby, my son, Aiden. And we are talking about adoption, foster care, all things Jones Baldwin family. And, you know, I'm just going to let Aiden explain to you guys a little bit about his background and how he came to be a part of the Jones Baldwin family.
Not my family, but my life wasn't so great as a kid. And my family wasn't ready for kids. So we had to go to foster care. I had to go through several different foster homes that I didn't like them. And I didn't like foster care either. So I was picking one. I wanted to pick one right away so I can get out. Of foster care.
Mm-hmm. Foster care. How do you feel about foster care?
Boo.
Boo.
They only let you watch one movie.
They only let you watch one movie. Do you feel like is that just foster care in general, or that's just that particular foster home that you were in at the time?
No, I was in foster care. Mm-hmm. And they only let us watch one movie.
Okay, so you wasn't in a foster home. You were like at a location
I was like in the office.
Building. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we only got to watch one movie. Wasn't fun. You didn't get to do anything. All you did is sit in a room and wait until you had a foster home to like visit and see if you like it. I had to go to seven different foster homes I did not like. And my eighth one.
You didn't like us either.
Was that Jones Baldwin's.
Be honest. You did not like us.
Yes. I did try to run, but the social service caught me.
And then she brought He's a runner. Up. He's a track star.
And then the only way they showed me my room, I had a Minecraft bed. Minecraft bed. Minecraft blankies and all that. Next thing, though, the only reason I wanted to stay, because I love the pool so much. My mama did to me. I said, if I stay, will you take me to the pool? Mm-hmm. I meant that day. She said, yeah, okay, sure. Next thing, no. When that social services, or whatever, and they left, I said, when are we going to the pool? She was like, oh, you gotta, it's this type of season, you can't go. I was like, and I stormed off to my room because I'm mad. And then she checked on me, had a little talk, and then.
We went to go get ice cream.
Because I kept calling you by your real name. I wasn't calling you mom or anything. She was like, you can call me mom and all that.
I never told you that.
Mom, I said
you can call me whatever you wanted to call me, and you start calling me Miss Lady.
Oh,
that's what you was calling me for the longest time. Miss Lady. But I told you can call me whatever you felt comfortable with. Whether it was mom, whether it was Miss Lady, whether it was Kia, Miss Jones Baldwin, whatever you felt comfortable with. In other, I'm not saying about in other foster homes in general, but do you feel like you've ever been pressured to call people mom or dad in foster care?
No.
That's good. That's good because a lot of times, a lot of kids in foster care say that, you know, their foster parents kind of get ill toward them when they don't call them mom or dad. Like, you know, I don't necessarily feel like or believe that that foster children should be pressured into calling anybody, mom, dad, or whatever. Even if that's how you wanted to angle it when you were adopted, like, you know, it just is what it is. Like, we're not big on titles and stuff like that. What are your thoughts? Because I've been hearing a lot, like I've been on social media and a lot of adoptees, are now just kind of starting to speak out about their adoption stories and things like that. And one of the things that they are speaking about is the changing of names, like, not really understanding why, their adoptive parents changed their name. They're feeling like they may have been stripped of their, you know, their, familial heritage or, you know, their birth names and things like that. And so I know we did change your name, but I'm curious to hear your thoughts about name changes. And, you know, did you ever feel pressured to change your name, or, like, you know, how did you feel, you know, as far as changing names? Do you feel like, you know, it's something mutual that we all agreed upon? Is it something that you wanted to do? Like, talk to me a little bit about that.
Actually, I didn't feel pressure because I had another person in my class named the same name as me, who I used to be called, you know, William. Mm-hmm. So, I actually learned to stop getting called William because they call me Will, mm-hmm. and not William by my full name. So I was angry about that. So mm-hmm. I changed my name to Aiden.
Mm-hmm.
I could have kept my real name, but. Mm-mm.
Yeah. And we always gave you, Carly, the option, you know, to keep your name. Like, we didn't pressure, you guys or tell, we didn't tell our children that they had to change their names. We sat down, we talked about it, and, you know, they decided on, what name they wanted. They decided to change their name if they wanted to. If they get older and decide they want to change their name back, then, hey, you know, we don't have, you know, a name does not make the person in the family any more family. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. And all of our children's biological or birth names are still in their names. So your middle name is still William, which that was your birth name. And so how do you feel like being able to still keep your name, you know, as a part of your.
You don't really hear my whole name a lot, so it's not mm-hmm. really noticeable. So it's not really bothering me because people don't even hear it like that because, you know, it's my middle name. I don't get called by my whole full name.
Right.
Because I got another person, same name as me, just spelled different.
Mm-hmm.
So I get called A-Y, and he's called A-D.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So, but do you feel like keeping William as a part of your name, even though you don't hear it all the time, do you feel like that was something that you feel good about? Like, you're glad that we done that?
Yeah, because mm-hmm. I want to remember where I came from.
Yeah, oh. Yeah. Yeah. And so, what do you feel like is the hardest part about foster care or adoption in general?
Leaving my real family.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, I was a kid. I didn't understand why I was leaving.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And all she said was, like, okay, it's okay. You got to go with them. I'll mm-hmm. be back soon.
Mm-hmm. You said this is what you're... The social worker said, or just your birth mom?
My birth mom.
Mm-hmm.
She said, it's okay, I'm going to go see, I'm be there with y'all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, you don't have to answer any of these questions. You don't have to talk about it. You know, if you feel like, you know, mom, I need to take a break, or mom, I don't want to talk about it. You know, I don't ever pressure you guys to talk about it. I don't ever pressure you guys to tell your story. And I only, you know, want you to talk about or say as much or as little as you feel comfortable with. And what do you feel like is the best thing about adoption or foster care? Or positive. I don't want to say the best thing, but a positive.
You get a, like, a good family. You get mm-hmm. a great family. It might not be the people you expected, but I don't know why you'd be in there for, but I understand why I was in there.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know the story. Because when you grow up, you hear the story of why. And so, I don't know why you're in there, but it's to find the perfect match. Because it's either your parents are not like ready for this kind of stuff, or they're kind of struggling. And so a positive thing is to find the best family right now for you, to keep you educated, healthy with clothes and all that. So I think it's to find the right family that can help you with a shelter and everything.
Like during that time, during your time of need, to continue to provide that type of stability and encourage you and things like that. And what about like, with our family, do you feel like us at least having some openness to adoption, where we're still able to have some contact with birth family members? Do you feel like that's helpful?
And see how they doing.
Because
you know, so I know sometimes, like, you know, you wonder how they doing. Like, is she okay? Is she. What she's wondering, like, you know, see how she's doing. Like, is she on the right path? Or, like, if your parents are on the right path.
Do you think that it's helpful that we don't, me and dad, we don't get angry with you guys for, like, saying my mama or you know, my brother? Or, I mean, do you feel like that's helpful in families, like, that we don't get all bent out of shape if you are still referring to your birth mom as mom or that? Like, do you feel like that's helpful, that helped the transition?
Can you ask that again?
Yeah, do you feel like, you know, we don't force you to not call your biological mom. Like, I don't say, you better call her by her name, or you better not talk about her, or do you feel like it's helpful that we just don't really place no emphasis on, like, you can call her by her name or call her mom or what? Like, do you feel like it's helpful that we just kind of allow you to be in charge of that?
Yes.
How so?
Okay, yeah. You gotta still know it's your mom. So you, like,
right.
You might still have two moms. You can call one, like, mom, and then other mom. Like, for instance, like, if you got two moms, like, mom one and mom two. Like, you're mom two, and I got another mom one.
Right.
So, I think it's kind of helpful because, like.
Right. Like, it's not like you don't know. You know, like, you do know. Like, do you feel like it's helpful to know that you're adopted as early on as possible? Or do you feel like people should wait and tell their children when they're 12 and 13 that they're adopted? Or do you feel like you need, you know, it's better if you know right away?
I think they should wait, because if they're like 5 or 6, they won't understand. Unless you, like, explain it in their type of way. But I had to wait, and I'm glad I did. So now I'm better. It's helped me understand. All that.
Like, you're older, so it's easier for you to process it. Do you think that it's easier when you're younger to at least start hearing the word adoption, so that you really, like, understand, like, you know, I do have another family. I do have a birth family, or, you know, whatever. Do you feel like at least hearing it, and so you'll at least know what the word is, so when somebody bring it up later on in life, you kind of already have a knowledge about it?
And then, hey, I got to spend the night sometimes. That was really fun because, you know, I get to spend more time with my siblings than just, like, a couple, like, an hour.
Hour or two, right. And then birthdays are helpful. Being able to see each other on birthdays and things like that.
Celebrate. You're getting older. Like, you don't know when a day is your last day on earth. So, you know, you gotta spend your time with them while you can.
Amen to that. Amen to that. Now that's a word right there. What about, like, our family? If you look at, like, being in a transracial adoptive family, being, you know, do you feel like it's been easy? Do you feel like it's been hard? Do you feel like, you know, we should be able to just
exist without people staring or approaching us? Like, how do you feel being a part of a transracial adopted family?
I think, hey, a family is a family. It doesn't matter about the skin color or anything.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, it doesn't matter. As long as you got a family and you have money, a shelter, and all that, it doesn't matter about skin color, because what does skin color got to do with family?
Right. I agree then, wholeheartedly on that.
Yeah, you might be a different skin color. You might think that they're getting at me, but when they say you, that's your child. That's your child.
Right. Period.
And if I gotta show you the adoption papers, I'm about to show you the adoption papers.
Mm-hmm.
Call the police if you want to.
Right.
Because my husband's a police. Your husband's a police. So go ahead. My husband won't pull up too.
Roop, roop, skirt. Exactly. It pull up on the block. So do you feel like you're used to it now, like where people stare in public or have approached us or have said something that you know you might have heard and didn't like? Or do you feel like it's something that you kind of are used to now, or it still hurt the same?
I'm still still disgusted in the way, like,
yeah,
like they come up, are you the babysitter or something like that? Like, bro. If I'm the babysitter, why would I be out in the store looking for groceries with the mother's son? Yeah, it's just a field trip to the grocery store.
Right.
Just let them pick whatever type of grocery they want.
For my house.
Like, right. When I see that, I'll be looking at that like this.
Exactly. Like, common sense is not that common for everybody.
Hey, if I wasn't a Christian, a lot of stuff would have been said. Hey, Jesus is holding me back.
Oh, Lord. Lord, thank you for holding my son back, Jesus. Thank you for working with my son. But you get tired of it. It can be exhausting. It can be exhausting. You know, you get tired of defending your family. You get tired of, you know, the constant hate, rude comments and things like that. So definitely understand. And what about social media? What about raising cultures? What do you think about raising cultures?
There's more positivity than negatives.
I agree.
But we do have some negative people on sometimes, saying like, "Mom, would you change his haircut and all that." Like,
oh, right, about the hair thing
and all just that. About like white skin color and all that. Like,
I
get tired of that. You gotta block them all that. All you had to do was just keep your mouth shut and just watch me. If you got a problem with it, just get off the live instead of
saying something. Right, just scroll on
that
by.
Just makes it worse. Like how you saying. Instead of just saying something back, just going on with your day.
Right.
You can just makes things worse.
Right.
So they had to say something. So now you're blocked.
Right. Exactly. Peace and God be with you.
And we got all these sobbing family members ganging up on it, because, like, we don't play like that. We're family.
Right.
You act like, we just gonna let you slide through that comment. No. One person sees it, they're like, "Hey, Q, you need to block this person."
Yes, they block game strong. Don't play with the cyber family. So overall, do you think that being on social media has been helpful for us getting our family out there so people can see that, hey, we're family too. Like, we're no different from anybody else. So do you think it can be a positive thing, or?
Yes.
Yeah, we like the cyber family. Well, I will continue to say this, you know, I have never tried to silence my children. My children all know that they are adopted. My children all know their foster stories. Even Princeton Boosie, when he get older, you know, he don't quite understand now, but he will. And I just feel like that adoption can come with a lot of trauma. Adoption can come with a lot of different things and emotions, and as a family we get through those things. I will continue to say that, you know, thank God that I did have the opportunity to talk to your birth mother, and then she did give, you know, she did give her blessing about, you know, the adoption, and she felt strong about us being a fam, you know, being a part of a family. All of us are connected. Your birth family, Princeton's birth family, Carly's birth family, you know, Zaria, us, like, we're all connected. You know, we all are, they're all our bonus family members. And, you know, at the end of the day, Aiden, I'm glad that you, you know, are a part of our lives. I don't think that my life definitely wouldn't be the same if you, Carly, and Princeton was not in it. I will say that adoption has forever changed my life for the better. And so, you know, I always appreciate your willingness to speak about it, because there is kids that's your age that are in foster care, that are looking for forever families, that are, hoping to be adopted, that are longing to be back with their birth family, you know, and all of these things are wrapped up into, you know, this one big, beautiful mess of what adoption is, or what foster care is. I do feel like that systematically things do need to change and can be better. But I do see that there are blessings that come out of adoption. Don't you agree?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I appreciate you being on the Kitchen Table Chronicles tonight. We talked about kicking off this new year with, you know, with AJB, a.k.a. the Heartbreak Kid. This is something he named himself, like I said at the beginning, because he think he cute. He think he a Romeo. And so we're gonna go ahead and close it on out. But again, thank you, son. I love you. And I appreciate your entire ministry. Until next time, Cyber Family, you guys be safe and have a good and blessed day. Bye.